Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8, it says this, "And let them make a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it." Verse 40, Exodus 25, 40. "And look that thou make them after the pattern which was showed thee in the mount." Patterns, plans, diagrams, models. Ladies, if I said a pattern, what comes to your mind?
Sewing.
Sewing, okay. Guys, if I say, guys. If I said pattern, what comes to your mind? Blueprint? I was supposed to make this. Judy ordered a pattern for me, and it wasn't sewing. It was this cow that that was 2 years ago. It's still in the file back where things to do list, and it was to make and paint this cow with 18 parts or something that you had to make. Anyways, it's still there, but it's a pattern. And you can make one or two or three or four from that pattern. And so, ladies, you know the same thing with your dress. You make the pattern. I've watched Judy sew before. And it's the pattern is not the item. And there's a verse that I need to read, and it's in 1 Timothy 1:16. It says, "Howbeit, for this cause," this is Paul talking, "for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." So we're going to see a little bit more in 1 Timothy, but the pattern, he says, I'm a pattern in me first. Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. He waited, and he was patient, and for a pattern. So here's Paul is going to be, it's Jesus Christ working the pattern in the Apostle Paul. And so we'll see Paul be the pattern for us, and we'll understand a little bit more about that pattern. But in Exodus, we are in 26:12. Turn there, Exodus 26:12. And we were talking about the tabernacle that God told Moses how to make the tabernacle. He gave him a pattern. In 26:12, "And the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remaineth shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle." And so this was a tabernacle, a tent. And it was Moses received the pattern, and they had to do something with the pattern. You know, if I would have took that pattern of the the cow was a planter outside and for flowers, and if I would have took that, oh, that's a very nice pattern. Still a nice pattern 2 years later. But if you don't act on the pattern, it's still just a pattern. But Paul was a willing servant. He was faithful, he says. God counted him faithful, putting him into the ministry. And so he willingly became that. It's a living pattern. The Bible says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And so work it out. God, it's Christ working in you. So the thing was, God showed Moses a tabernacle, how to make the tabernacle, all the spoons in there, all this other stuff that went inside the tabernacle. What was the tabernacle used for? Worship. It was worship for God. That's where God met with the nation Israel, in that tabernacle. If Moses said, that's a pretty nice pattern, follow it away, there was no worship for God. So he had to follow that pattern. And that's, I've titled this here today, is called The Tent Maker. And we'll see that this was a tent in the wilderness, for the church in the wilderness, that Moses was supposed to make for the worship of God. And so its purpose, there was a purpose that there was a pattern And so long as he found a faithful servant to work that pattern, then he received what? Worship. And they had, that's where they met to get forgiveness of sins too. They had that tabernacle where the laver, they washed, and then the altar where they burnt the sacrifices. All was part of that pattern that Moses received. And turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll jump right into that set of verses over here that I go to a lot. You might have heard them before, maybe. It's in verse 1:13. 1 Timothy 1:13 says, Paul speaking about himself to a young protege named Timothy. And he says about himself, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And if you go back to that word obtained, it doesn't mean I worked for it or I strived to get mercy. I obtained it. And now how do you think Paul would have obtained mercy?
Grace.
By what? I heard it?
Grace.
Grace, okay. And his faith in what Christ gave him, the information to be the pattern. Verse 14 says, and the grace, there's the grace. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love with his, which is in Christ Jesus. And Paul was, he was glad for exceeding grace, exceeding abundant grace. What does it say there? It says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Paul was getting abounding grace here. And so he was, he recognized himself as that sinner. Verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Your name here, my name there, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy that in me first. Oh, there's that obtained again. He received it. That's what that is. That in me first, and that's important. Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern. Now, it's really not Paul. It's Jesus Christ working in Paul to be that living pattern for all of us. Initially for Timothy, because Timothy was, this is a thing for Timothy. Here's a man that's been there, got the t-shirt and hat and the suitcase and everything else. He had the baggage. He says, I've been there. Have you ever told your son or daughter or a friend or kid, don't do that. You'll get burnt. Or you're going to lose all your money if you invest here. Or if you run with this Johnny kid, you're going to get in trouble. How would dad or mom know that?
Been there.
Yeah, I've been burnt. I lost my money. Yeah, ran with Johnny. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so, Timothy, I've been a blasphemer. I've been a persecutor. I've been injurious. I've been all these things. And you just label it sin, sinner. But for blasphemy, Paul being a Jew, blasphemy against God, what was the penalty for that?
Death.
And so he was, Timothy, I've got all this hanging over my head, all this baggage, but I obtained mercy. You know what, Timothy? If you have some baggage, if you have some instances of rebellion or whatever it is, you too can obtain mercy because it was in me first and I'm the pattern. Not the pattern of being injurious and persecuting and all this other stuff, but the pattern of grace and mercy. Look at, you're in 1 Timothy, look at, verse 1 Timothy 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Not from Paul, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, now I'm going to send you out with, here's what you have, grace and mercy. What does he say in verses 13 through 16? That, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So it's Jesus Christ taking grace and mercy into Paul, into him first. And Timothy, I want to charge you, I want to commit this to you so that you can go home and have a nice day. No, you can have a nice day, but I want you to, what is it, 2 Timothy 2:2? Anybody got that verse? And the things that thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same commit thou to, finish it, faithful men who are able to teach others also. And so that's your memory verse for next week. But this is what Paul is pushing. Paul is being, he says, for the love of God constraineth me. He had something so, he had so much baggage, sin, that he just reveled in the grace that God would forgive me. You know, I thought it was past all the forgiveness you could do. You know, how much penance can I do? There's no purgatory, so I can't pay for it there. But he was that called a living demonstration of God's exceeding abundant grace. Mercy, getting a pardon you don't deserve, in grace is unmerited favor, all from the love of God, and he proved it at Calvary. Paul knew something about the pattern. Acts 18. Turn to Acts 18, please. Paul. In Acts 18. 1, it says, Acts 18:1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Okay. So, Paul, well, let's say it this way. Christ used Paul as his pattern was in his everyday labors and occupation that he was able to talk to Aquila and Priscilla. And so he was, Aquila and Priscilla would not have known this wonderful gift of grace, this message of grace, this doctrine of the dispensation of the grace of God, if they hadn't been together in working with their hands together in this, in making a tent. And I found that interesting because Moses was given a pattern for a tent for God to live and dwell with them in a place for them to worship. That was that tent. Paul knew something about tents and tent making, laboring with his hands, so I'm not chargeable to any of you. And so that was Paul. But he didn't just, you know, you make a tent, you just don't say, hey, I'll start at this end and you start at that end and we'll make a tent. No. I know this firsthand. My dad had just passed away, but he was a tailor and a woodworker, and if your shoes were bad, he'd fix those too. And so, but in the event, in our growing up, we were avid campers. We'd go up to the Pinery Park in Canada, if you're familiar with that. Really nice, used to be nice. I haven't been there in quite a while. But Dad had this nice, bought a nice canvas tent with the poles and the ropes, and Judy's laughing already because we used it and it just keeps falling down. You know, a little sand or wind, some rain, oh, you can't touch the top because it'll start leaking in. And so we had that, but if it rained and we had the six, my mom and dad and the four kids, and if it was raining outside, you're all stuck in the tent. And you had to cook whatever on the stove and open in its smoke and whatever. And so Dad says, being the tailor and the craftsman that he was, he says, I'm going to make a screen enclosure. We always did things on the easy side of cash. So he always was careful. And so he got the right material. Now remember that Paul's the pattern. He got the right material. And he got the screen and he got everything. And he figured out what the other side of the tent itself had a shape to it. And so he had to make an enclosure that would fit that shape so the rain wouldn't come into the enclosure. And I hope you're getting this in your head. And so everything he had to make it so we could fit a picnic table in that enclosure. And if it rained, we put the plastic up and we could eat and play cards or whatever we did and out of the rain. So it worked nice. The tent fell down, the enclosure stayed up. There was the plans. He drew the plans up. I was there when he made it and watched him do this, and he was sewing machine. And the plans had a purpose, and the purpose worked. But you just don't look at the plans. Oh, that's nice. Huh. And I do that sometimes, too. So, but he says, and he didn't save Paul because he was such a great tent maker. I would have liked to have seen what he made. You know, maybe it was the size of the tabernacle that Moses made. Maybe he had that same pattern. I don't know. But he saved Paul to be a pattern to the unbeliever. He knew Paul. In Timothy, he says that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul didn't just stand up on a soapbox and say, hey, I'm going to start a ministry. The Lord said, here's what you're going to say, here's how you're going to say it, and he used his personality to do it, but in his everyday life. And Paul didn't just stay in a synagogue or a certain place. He did. He worked. He labored with his hands. He's not just a pattern to eternal life, and he is. By grace through faith, Christ died for our sins, right? That's from Paul, from Christ to Paul to us. But he's a pattern also in that enthusiasm that he had to go out when he was what, beaten, shipwrecked, stoned, you know, taken up for dead. And so there's a pattern of a man there also that I take to heart. The part of, where are we at? Let's go back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. In 1:16, 1 Timothy 1:16, and it says there that he obtained mercy, which is unmerited favor. And then it says, there's that phrase there, in me first. So if he said, in me first, was he pointing to back to the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Okay, I got a no. Some solid no's out of that one. That's good. And so what about Deuteronomy 28? No. Thank you, Old Testament. We understand the Bible, and this is not apologetics, but we have prophecy, and we have mystery, right? And so prophecy is over here. And future. And this is the Apostle Paul. I'm not exactly right in the right books here, but this is what Paul received from Christ. And this is just that was hidden God from the beginning of the world. And Christ says he's the due time testifier, which was testified of me in due time. Wasn't ready back here. Wasn't ready to be revealed what Christ did, because that was hid because of, we're going too far with Satan. And if Satan would have known that Christ was going to be the Savior to the world, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. He would have never crucified him. But Paul says, in me first. And it says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, and he is now the pattern. And the part there in 1 Timothy, I'm back in Timothy. I got back over here in prophecy. I got to move. 1 Timothy. And one there. In 16 at the end, where it says, a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to what? Life everlasting. If it's in Paul first, Jesus Christ, most important that it's Jesus Christ and not Paul on his own soapbox there. It's Jesus Christ working in Paul as the pattern to everyone who believes hereafter. After what? After Paul, because he's the pattern. So he's there. If there's a pattern, what's expected? That there's going to be more, because it says those hereafter, and that's us. We're hereafter. A pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting, to believe on Christ to life everlasting, believe he died for our sins. And you're in 1 Timothy there, right? Now look at verse 2, chapter 2, verse 3. It says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It's not a priest or someone who calls himself a priest. It's not a rabbi. It's not a religious system. It's Jesus Christ. You have nothing, there's nothing between your soul and the Savior. Not a man. Not an organization, nothing. When you pass away, well, let's say before that, you go to Christ on your own. Jesus Christ is there saying, oh, he believes in me. How does that verse go? John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's right. And he's the one mediator. It was not known back there when in John chapter 14. But here in Timothy, Paul expounds because of the revelation that Jesus Christ gave him that was hid from ages and generations. One mediator. A little bit more about Paul. Paul is the pattern. He's not our Savior, okay? And a lot of people will say, oh, you make too much of Paul. Baloney. In Titus 2:7, he charged Timothy plenty of times, but he's got Titus too. In Titus chapter 2, Titus was a different person than Timothy, but a different personality, I think, by reading the verses. Titus chapter 2, verse 7 says, in all things, showing thyself what? A pattern of what? Good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part might be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Paul takes and turns the table on Titus. Timothy, he says, Timothy, here's who I was. I was injurious, murderer, and all this other stuff, and then he said, I obtained mercy. He goes over to Titus and says, show yourself a pattern now, showing What's the uncorruptness? So what was Titus's bent? Okay, let's watch. Gravity, get both feet on the ground here. Don't be flighty. Sincerity. Maybe he was a jokester like me, you know? So be sincere. Sound speech. These are some of the things that he's admonishing Titus to have. And so why would he do that? Because that was probably who he was. Timothy, he had different a different charge, a different challenge for him. And let me read just a few things here. In Acts chapter 20, it says this, "Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me." Paul is teaching and talking to people and saying, I'm not out for the money. What does it says? To edify one another in love. And he says, here's these two hands, and I'm just going to work. I'll read the verses. In Thessalonians, talking to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto you, any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God." Oh, I was looking for the... Oh, here they are. Yeah, I'm preaching the gospel of God. Okay? Paul said, I didn't do that. He says, I just went and worked night and day, laboring night and day, so that I would not be chargeable to you. I don't need your money. I have what I need because of the offerings that were given to him. That's fine. But he didn't make that when he talked to the Philippians, he said that you might gain, I forget how it said, if you give something to the ministry, you get a reward back for it from God, not from me. 2 Thessalonians 3:8, "Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but we wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you." Pattern yourself a working model of God's grace. And I think we can all jump into that. In our own personalities, in our own walk of life, follow that pattern of Christ in you, first of all, to salvation, and then work out those good deeds. I wanted to close with something here. Turn with me, if you would, 1 Chronicles 28. First Chronicles chapter 28. King of Chronicles. That's after Kings, if that helps you. 1 Chronicles 28. And verse 11. And it says there, "Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and the inner parlors thereof, and the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit, of the courts of the house of the Lord, and all the chambers round about, and the treasuries of the house of God, and the treasuries of the dedicated things." Verse 18, "And for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot, of the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And all this said David to the... All this said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me even all the works of this pattern." So King David received a pattern also for the temple. Moses received the pattern for the tabernacle. David received the pattern for the wonderful kingdom, the temple. Thank you. And I found something interesting in 1 Kings 22:2. It says this, listen. David's on his deathbed. David received the pattern, but the Lord wouldn't let him do the building because he was called a bloody man. He wouldn't do, he wouldn't allow him to do the building of it. So his son Solomon is standing by his bedside. And David said, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Be a man. He's telling, be a pattern. Show them who's your daddy. Is that how that goes? Show them whose son you are. And he says, just be a man. To his son, his dying breath, who received all the pattern. Who built the temple? Solomon's temple. All the houses and all the instruments and everything in there was given as a pattern to King David, and it was passed on. And that's what Paul does for us. When you hear, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for all have sinned. And if all have sinned, and Paul says, Christ came into the world to save sinners, how many people did Christ die for? That shoots some theology in the foot, doesn't it? Let's close. Moses received that pattern. Paul received a pattern for the church, the body of Christ. Timothy received it from Paul. Titus received it from Paul. And we received that same pattern from what was written down for us. The pattern is the Word of God. And Paul says, know you not that your body is the temple of the living God? Let's close. Father, again, we're glad for your word. Where would we be without it? We would be on our own soapbox doing something called religion. But thank you for the words that you work through this faithful man, and help us to be faithful to your word. And it's all because of Jesus Christ. We thank you. Amen.